Recently for Seascapes, I met again with the retired Dublin Sea Captain, Captain Brendan Ford, to hear about his life at sea. Brendan is now aged 88, he's been retired for a couple of years, and he's been all over the world several times on various types of ships. Recently, we heard about his first sea adventure when he ran off to sea aged 16 in 1948. And now this week, he recalls that when he was 17, he made his first trip behind the Iron Curtain just after World War II.
Penetrating the Iron Curtain. In January, February 1949, I settled down to serving my time as an ordinary seaman in the Baltic, running from various Scandinavian ports, mainly Swedish, to Polish ports such as Gdynia and Gdansk on the Gulf of Danzig and Szczecin on the River Oder, 50 miles from the open sea. The guidance and knowledge of a local pilot was essential to reach Stettin. World War II was over, but there was plenty of physical signs of the war to be seen in Poland and its waters. Wrecked ships, masts showing above the sea surface, and even wartime German aircraft still intact. In Pomeranian Bay, the mouth of the River Oder, I sketched two large wartime shipwrecks near Swinemunde, where I even photographed a massive wreck of the Cordillera, a German liner that had been requisitioned as a transporter by the German Navy at the beginning of the war. Along with other transport ships, the Cordillera was disabled and partially sunk by US Air Force bombing on the 12th of March 1945, with a huge loss of mainly civilian life. I managed to sneak a photograph of a Luftwaffe plane. I say sneak because everywhere we went, on board ship or ashore, we were under the control and ever-watchful eyes of the Russian military that had liberated Poland but had not yet returned home. We had to approach Polish ports through minefields, which were clearly marked at critical points by glass-lit buoys. Each incoming ship was officially supplied with minefield charts to help get it safely into port. Although I was only an ordinary seaman in training, I was made fully aware by our officers that a confidential pack of documents and maps known by the acronym NEMEDRI and supplied to us was the key to safe passage through the minefields. In the port of Gdynia and other Polish ports, the routine was the same. When we arrived and moored, we were boarded by Russian military personnel who were heavily armed. All crew, including the captain and officers, were called on deck. There was a routine search by the Russians of our accommodation to ensure that we were all on deck and that everyone had been seen and counted. The rest of the ship was also searched. Our principal work in port was loading Polish coal for transport to Sweden. Four holds in the ship, two forward and two aft, were filled with coal poured at intervals by gravity feed from big railway wagons at the dockside. The rising coal surface in each of the holds was regularly levelled by Polish dockers working rapidly with shovels. Finally, the entrance to each hold was trimmed with timber, covered with canvas to waterproof it against weather. The whole process took at least 2 days, depending on the availability of cranes, and was very noisy and dusty. Naturally, we thought the Russians were watching us, the foreigners in port, but they were also watching the Polish dockers. It was a repressive time in Poland, with the Russian army of occupation everywhere. A port provided opportunities for individuals to make a break for freedom, and one such situation occurred when our holds were about to be sealed. Everything hinged on the Russian military being diverted at the very moment an escapee made a dive into the coal hold. If successful, an escapee sealed in the hold faced a long, dangerous sea voyage in very cold and dusty conditions in total darkness. If they survived the voyage, they received a cautious welcome in Sweden, but were not returned to the Russians. I had some interesting moments ashore in Poland. In Gdynia, I could not help noticing a very impressive ship, the Dar Pomorza, a three-masted square-rigged training ship, which after a misunderstanding with its captain, I was allowed to sketch and was invited on board to sign the visitor's book. In the candlelit basement of a bombed-out pub, I had my first Polish vodka. Although it was 1949, I saw a burned-out tram on the street, still there since the war. People were salvaging bricks and construction material from ruined buildings. I had a Swedish seaman's ration card, but my captain had removed the coupons that allowed the purchase of alcohol. Somehow, in a church, I managed to make my confession to a Polish-speaking priest by using altar boy Latin. In truibo ad altare Dei, confitio Deo omnipotenti. Things could go wrong ashore. On one occasion, I went into the city of Gdynia with a Danish shipmate. For some reason, we came under notice and were arrested at gunpoint. I got into further trouble when all I had with me by way of identification was my Irish seaman's card. My Danish friend must have said something that irritated the military and got a rifle butt in the ribs. I had no one to call on for help, but the British consular official told me quickly enough that he could not help me, old man. I was 17 at the time. However, he must have pulled the right strings, because that afternoon I was set free. I remember Szczecin, burned out ships and tanks. While passing near Świnoujście, sneaked wrecked flugzeugs on the banks. The fighting war was over, peace had come at last, but not everything was forgotten that had happened in the past. Everyone had lost something, and somebody in many cases. You didn't have to ask them who. You could see it in their faces.
Captain Brendan Ford. We recorded that piece in his home, and we'll hear more from him over the next few weeks.